Blog Talk Radio. All too often these days, the factory whistle is falling silent in America. But there is a way to get American workers back to work. Start buying more American-made products. Now, a Michigan-based company is leading the way in this movement to strengthen our economy. It's called AmericanMadeProducts.com. AmericanMadeProducts.com is more than a way to purchase American-made products online quickly and securely. It's a way to get our economy moving in the right direction. Go online or call and speak to a live customer service representative. AmericanMadeProducts.com, a family company based on the belief in the American worker and the quality of American-made products. If you're an American manufacturer, big or small, and would like your products on our site, contact us. We add products daily. Tell your family, tell your friends, tell your employer about AmericanMadeProducts.com. Visit, shop, and watch America grow. AmericanMadeProducts.com.
All right. And ladies and gentlemen, we have a special announcement. Rebecca is on time. Yes, for the first time since she's joined the show, she's on time. We are proud of her. We want to thank her husband for letting her be on time.
Hey, do you know why this is possible?
Because he's sleeping. Oh, is that right?
He's sleeping.
I'll send you a bottle of sleeping pills, and you can use them for Sundays. Got emails. The emails, but we don't need to
Hey Donnie, I don't know if anybody else is having trouble, but I'm having a lot of trouble. You're cracking up and
Okay, let me do this. You guys go ahead and talk, and I'll try to figure this out. You tell me when it clicks.
You're cracking up now.
Am I cracking up now?
But a little bit.
Oh.
I keep talking so I can hear.
We are having problems, it says, with the connection from Skype. I've got a memo here, and it's been up here for the last 3 weeks. I apologize. Let me know if anything's not coming through my end, I'll switch microphones and try another channel. So you guys keep talking.
Okay. Well, can you hear me okay? Well, hi, Rebecca. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
I'm not doing too bad for a hot day.
Oh, I know.
But
I was hoping Brian was going to be coming. Do you know if he's coming? I'd love to hear about his adventure this week.
I have no idea. I will try to contact him while we're talking. I've been having connectivity issues myself today, but anyway, how'd your week go? Anybody confront you?
Anybody confront me? Well, I got a letter from the Solidarity House on our request about changing our union dues. I did get that. And I'm forgetting if I knew they were going to confront me about something specific. Are you referring to something specific?
Well, usually whenever you raise some concerns, they don't want to hear that. So usually they send somebody out to talk to you and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, no one confronted me like that. I did have some issues on the line this week I thought were odd, and I, you know, was going to talk to my reps about, but I didn't do that yet, so it was kind of an unusual thing. But no, I did get my letter about the meaning of the constitutional language about our union dues. And it said that it wasn't pertaining to us. So we are meeting and going to be filing an appeal on that, as the language is pretty clear about it. The letter basically was saying that it had to do with a different group of part-time workers, but it didn't include us. the automakers. So that was it was interesting, half expected, I guess, but because we didn't get much of a response when we had the meeting about it. So I still feel like that it needs attention, and that if it was an error, it's a pretty big error, and I'd just like to see something further done about it, I guess.
Right. Well, do you have music playing or TV in the background?
Oh, you know what? In the other room, can you hear that?
Yes, ma'am.
Hold on. Okay, hold on.
I heard a siren run. I'm going, wow, somebody's getting chased.
Testing.
How's that?
I hear testing. That sounds better. That's better.
Okay, can anybody hear me?
Yes.
I can.
Is it coming better? All right. Better. If you guys are done with your conversation, I'll read some of these emails if you would like.
Okay. Sure.
All right. So one thing I would change is how the president is picked. I believe we should have a vote. A one person, one vote president.
Wow.
We look into the past of these people and make a better decision. By the way, Williams would not be president. And that's Larry from Local 862. I have no idea what an 862 is. I apologize. I don't. 862. Okay, we'll look that up during the show.
Yep.
Okay, and the second one's from Jamie. Said, if there's just one thing, I guess it would be backing presidential candidates. Our money should not be wasted on these crooks like Clinton. But there are so many things I would change, it's hard to pin just one thing down. The IUAW is as corrupt as anything in Washington, D.C. Jamie W. from Local 1302. And you guys can comment on all this. Brian, I believe I got you up, my friend.
Okay, how you guys doing?
Yeah.
There he is.
Hello, Brian.
Hello.
Brian. You know, I have to tell you, you were the only one that was late today, but that's okay. I just want to make sure you knew that Rebecca made it on time. Okay, this is from Pauline. Pauline from Local 276. Hello, guys and gals. If I, a lonely auto worker, could change one thing, it would be to get rid of everyone at the IUAW. That's a start. Then I would move to the locals and do the same. Then I would interview everybody that wanted to fill these positions until we can have an honest election and pick the right person to fill each position. The UAW hasn't been for workers for some time. We have to get back to what we had or we will lose it all. Pauline, like I said, Local 7 or 276. Wow. Okay, this is from Bob in Lansing, the home of the Spartans, it says.
Ooh.
Yeah, fuck that. Okay, here we go. Hi, people. Great show. And give my thanks to Teresa for all the postings. She is wonderful. Okay, where do I start? The first thing I would do is blow up the UAW and start over again. That's the answer. Start over. Send everybody that works and is a member of the UAW to school and have Scott, Rebecca, and Brian, and you too, Donnie, teach these morons what it means to be a union. And I would hire Ralph to clean all the bathrooms in the plant of my choosing. I don't want to forget Dick Dangin either. He would be a great teacher also. Great show. And Donnie, Rebecca can't help that she is a Buckeye. Come on. Leave her alone. Leave her alone. She's going to have
a... Is that the Spartan guy saying that?
All right. That's from Bob from Lansing, local 602. All right, guys, go ahead and you have a discussion. We had a tremendous amount of emails, and they all basically said the same thing. And these were signed with their locals, so a lot of them were signed without their locals. And we had them from more from Arlington and Virginia. We had some from Virginia. Thank you from Virginia and Alabama, Tennessee, Indiana. I'm trying to remember all the states. Oklahoma, Wisconsin.
Wow.
California, by the way, California, even though I think most people in California are freaks. But other than that, go ahead.
I just worry for the people in California, you know, because I've always they're going to fall off of the rest of the United States pretty soon, right?
We can hope.
That's what we're...
But it's a part of the United States now.
I think what she's referring to is this last week. I believe this last week, wasn't there some a big gathering of the scientists and the seismologists and stuff, and they said that there's been some activity along the San Andreas Fault.
Yes.
And I guess instead of being a horizontal shift, which, you know, when those plates shift up and down, that's when you get earthquakes, this was a vertical shift or a horizontal vertical shift, meaning up and down. And they said that's not good in that some places, I guess it gapped or drowned.
Sounds like you're talking about a porno movie. I did see that. Well, back and forth, up and down. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. But, yeah, they're having a problem. And we'll send aid. That'll be a different country if they do break away, so we'll send aid, I'm sure. So don't worry, people in California.
You know, funny you should say it. Sounds like a porno, you know, because the membership, this could be a porno as much as we get screwed from our membership, from the leadership up above, you know. It's
right.
It's pretty bad. You know, everybody who has their political views, and I mean, I think we're all pretty unified about how we believe, you know, here and how the system is corrupt and ran. Until we break a two-party system, we'll never really have a true democratic process, because the process we got now is rigged, it's bought and paid for. I mean,
right.
We can't argue that point. Anybody who wants to do just a little bit of research knows that that's what it is. You have people who are millionaires running for office and saying that they can relate to our problems. Okay.
Right.
Millionaires
right.
can't relate to what Don Couch did on the end of Chassis One, or what Rebecca does at Jeep, what Brian does at Chrysler or Mopar. Can't relate to what I do, you know. And as far as our leadership, they're so far out of touch with what we do and what we don't do. It's appalling. And I agree with one of the persons who wrote in and said we need to start, you know, from the top down. I
right.
agree. And the first letter you wrote, absolutely.
I didn't write.
That you read. I'm sorry.
862
is Louisville, and 276 is Arlington. So, hello, Louisville.
And
Arlington.
Oh, Pauline. Okay, Pauline's wrote before now. I remember Pauline.
Yeah.
She wrote us a few times from Arlington.
Yeah.
She's one of us. No, they listened to it on the line. Hello, everybody in Arlington, Texas tonight. I know it's hot.
Hello.
It's terrible.
So, yeah. do you guys know there is a process to do that, to change something at this upcoming convention? What, 3 more years? Is that 3?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you betcha.
If people really, really want to see some change like that, if they want to see how the process is made different or have a specific because everybody's talking right now, and I don't have anything against Cindy Estrada, I don't know her, but everybody's saying she's the one. If they don't like that, they can put up a person for nomination, you know that. And it's just a process you have to do beforehand, but you have to start now. Remember,
right.
I talked about that last week. If you want to see some change, you got to start now, because that takes I'm going to forget the word. It takes a, you have to go get some signatures. Requests are terrible. I can't think what the word's called. You have to get some signatures and say this is what you want to do at the next convention.
Yeah.
And I'll submit that.
Yes,
yeah,
we have to.
So, I mean.
No, you're right. And somebody wrote, you know, we got to think of the here and now. Let me tell you, you got to think in advance and get it. People together. Get people together. Pick people that you're going to send to the convention that is like-minded. And that's how you do things. That's how you get changes. And you get people that are like-minded. Show up at your local meetings. You're working on a line. I know it's hard to get to the union meeting if you can make it. But you can take over the local union hall. Dick Dangen told us that many, many, many times. It only takes one person more, and you own the damn local union hall. Right then and there, you can make changes. So, but it's getting people together. Brian's tried it. We've tried it. We got a hell of an audience here, but I don't know what happens in other plants. I just know what happens in our plant, and our plant is is a joke. I don't know if it is now. We do have a new bargaining chairman, so I don't know. I don't know. But Mike Carl, yeah, that's his name, Mike Carl, I believe. Yeah, has a quick question. Just a quick question to other locals. Does your local buy liability insurance to protect them from lawsuits stemming from poor representation paid for with union dues? Representatives are also allowed to buy in out of pocket $150 a year. Local 602 just did, and I was just curious. Thanks in advance. So I don't know. Scott, do you know? Rebecca?
No, I don't know that. Interesting question.
Yeah, I don't know neither.
That's a good question. I don't know.
And so they're buying liability insurance. It seems like they should already be carrying that through the UAW, though, right?
Yeah, I believe they do, and you could probably buy some kind of insurance because, you know, you can be sued, like Dick Dangen said. You are acting as their lawyer in cases. So, yeah, I'm sure the UAW has that. I imagine you can add to it, you know, like a supplemental policy or something. I don't know, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know if Scott's around or not, but he's awful quiet if he...
I'm trying to think. If you could read that question again.
Oh, do
it.
You know how many times you make me do that? Do you realize
how
many times in a week I have to read something back to you?
I'm sorry.
Just saying.
Got to catch it.
Just a quick question to Scott and other locals. Please listen this time. Does local buy liability insurance to protect them from lawsuits stemming from poor representation paid for with union dues? Representatives are also allowed to buy in out of pocket for $150 a year. I guess they can buy more. And that's from local, it says local 602 just did, and I was just curious about the other locals.
Right. I have heard of locals carrying extra liability insurance, and he's right. It's because of poor representation.
Right.
You and I both know somebody. I don't know if you know him personally. I know of him. I've talked to him, but I don't know him, you know, like, well. Old guy, when he retired, back quite a few years ago, I'm saying within the last 10 years ago, he came in with the white long tail tuxedo.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Okay, okay. That fellow there, when he retired, had an open, active lawsuit against Local 598. And he had hired a decent attorney, by the way. I never did hear, we'll never hear how he did on that, but if I remember right, our shop chairman at the time refused to sign his hand or shake his hand when he left.
Yes, you're right. He didn't shake his hand.
Now, I agree with Mike Carl. The reason that you want to carry extra liability insurance is because you're getting sued. Like that show you and my wife do once a month.
Right.
You know, we have a board over here that seems to get themselves in trouble, and there's lawsuits.
Right.
And that'd probably be a good idea for them to carry a liability. But there are certain locals that run into more problems than others. I mean, granted, our local has its issues. Every local has some issues. But
right.
People like Local 600 in Ford, okay, where they have what they had happen back at the contract time, I could see how they would get sued very easily, you know. So is it a good idea? Well, yeah, if you're going to be a crappy local and not represent the people, you know.
That's,
I think it's getting to the point where people had enough. You know, you got my favorite Army of One out there, stands in front of Solidarity House. He lets them know how unhappy he is. You know. By the way, what happened this week, Brian?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Brian. Is your vacation over?
Yeah, my vacation is over. I came back to work on Thursday. I was walked out Friday. We had a town hall meeting, and the plant manager was addressing issues relating to the audit under world-class logistics, and also talking about the mistakes that are being made by the membership when sending out parts. And basically, I told them that, you know, we addressed issues that need to be fixed for the last 2 years. And being that you're management, you're supposed to address those issues. And until you do your job, we can't do ours. So you need to address these issues, fix these issues. And once you fix these issues, we shouldn't have any more mistakes. Well, he didn't want to hear that. And so he told me to shut up. And, you know, put me on notice, and I said, do what you got to do. And I got walked out and for basically voicing my suggestions. And the only one was being intimidating and threatening was the plant manager. It happened to be that the alternate committee man was there and not my committee man. So, you know, the alternate didn't know much, so I got walked out. I was told it was going to be a one-day DLO, so I returned Monday, and security let me through the gate because my badge wasn't working, and I seen the plant manager, and I got walked out again. So so finally I said, you know, okay, you're going to play games, so I took it upon myself again to go visit the Solidarity House. And I talked to a guy named Brian Rothenberg, which is the senior communications advisor there at the Solidarity House. And he wanted to know why I was upset after he read my sign. And so I let him have it. And As you know, the grievance ain't written yet, and so I'm still waiting for the local to write the grievance, but I'm assuming that the international made a couple phone calls and told them to bring me back. So I'm back. Now I'm just waiting to get paid for it. So I'm going to continue go out in front of the Solidarity House until I get paid, and also until they bring another union sister back that is a that was a TPT, but is, I believe, now a two-tier. She got walked out as well. So that's basically what happened, you know.
Wow.
But, you know, I think the sign spoke for itself, you know. One side of the sign said the international.
Like,
yeah, the one side said the international UAW leadership put the corporation and its own greed before its members. So that's one side of the sign. And then the other side of the sign says, fight for the international UAW leadership reform, one member, one vote. So that got plenty of their attentions, and, you know, there was quite a few. I had a guy from the General Motors side came out to talk with me, but you know, I told them, you can't do nothing. I'm on the Chrysler side. So, but either way, I'm back. So now I just got to see if they're going to get this grievance, hopefully by when I go in tomorrow. Hopefully they'll have the grievance written, and we can go from there to make sure I get paid.
Hey, I got a question for you. Did the plant manager literally tell you to shut up?
Yeah, he literally told me to shut up in front of the membership.
Oh, man. Oh.
Wow. Wow. That, talk about professionalism, huh?
Well,
wow.
Look, I get peeved off about this because it's the union's job to make sure this kind of stuff don't happen. And the code of conduct does not say UAW employee. It says Chrysler employees. That means white collar, blue collar, whatever. If you work for Chrysler, you fall under the code of conduct. But for whatever reason, management seems to escape from underneath the code of conduct, and they have no rules to follow. And so the purpose of the union is to make sure they follow, that the company forces that code of conduct on management as well. So if management is being threatening and intimidating, then they need to be reprimanded for that.
Absolutely. Shop rules are not just for the membership. Shop rules cover everybody under the building, period. So I would definitely say, you know, there was some stuff that went on. One, you shouldn't have left the premises without writing at least two grievances. Did they walk you through a 76 process? Did they have a one-on-one and tell you why you're being thrown out? You know,
What happened is he told another supervisor, which wasn't my supervisor, to write me up. And then, of course, my supervisor was told. So it ended up being the president of my local, the alternative committee man, and my supervisor and the other supervisor that basically came and put me on a disciplinary layoff. So you got suspension, discharge, disciplinary layoff. I got the disciplinary layoff for insubordination. So, okay, insubordination of what? Under what code of conduct was I insubordinate? It's not written on the paper. There's no return date on the paper. And then I was told that I can't come back until the investigation. What's there to investigate? I mean, it was a town hall meeting. I said what I said. He said what he said. And I'm getting walked out. And the bottom line is he got butthurt because the bottom line is, like I said, we can't do our job until management does their job. When he came in as the plant manager, he failed the first audit. Now, after failing the first audit, he postponed the second audit not once but twice. So now the audit's supposed to be coming up, I suppose, in September, and we're going to fail it again. So what I don't understand is if we failed the first audit, we postponed the second audit twice, and we're getting ready to fail it again. And on top of him being intimidating and threatening by telling me to shut up, I don't understand how he hasn't been walked out for failing to do his job. Not just he's failing to do his job, he's got another supervisor basically doing half of his job. So she's running the business side as he's taking care of world-class logistics to set up for the audit. And like I said, we're not in the position of passing this audit at this time. So I don't know what it takes to get management fired, but it's easy to walk somebody out for speaking their mind, you know, especially after I've told them that you need to correct these issues in order for us to do our job. So why am I being walked out for telling him what he needs to do to be successful versus me getting walked out and I've never been written up for my job performance, you know?
Instead of being written up for insubordination, you was trying to off him a way to actually help run his business better. Right?
Absolutely. And see, that's the purpose of world-class logistics is it's supposed to be teamwork between the management side and the union side. But evidently, management's doing whatever they want. So what's the purpose of WCL if you're not going to listen to the membership?
Because if anybody knows the job,
it's us.
Absolutely. We're the professionals. Yourself, Rebecca, me, Don, when he was working, you're the best at what you did. People don't realize that. You're on a job for so long, you know ins and outs. You know what's right, what's wrong. Usually you know who to get a hold of to get a hold of a problem taken care of. You know, you're the hired professional. Teresa put a quote up by Walter Reuther, and I think this fits perfectly in your spot. Walter Reuther said, managers manage and workers work. To demand of workers that they take responsibility. What is management's job imposes an intolerable burden on the working person.
Absolutely.
I agree with that.
I do too.
You know, I don't know what the Jeep contract is. I mean, it's kind of the same as yours, but in Ford, I think we found it to be, Appendix J. And with General Motors, it's paragraph 8, you know, the right to hire and fire, discharge. That whole paragraph is basically an operating clause. And Ford has one and Chrysler has one. But for you to get thrown out in such a way that you didn't get an interview before you left, nobody wrote a grievance for unjust discharge or anything before you even left, you would have had to drag me out of there. I would have been kicking and screaming because of failure to represent me.
Let me tell you something. They can do whatever they're going to do because at the end of the day, my case holds water, theirs don't. If I file a complaint against the union, the company, they're going to lose. So I'm going to let them keep digging themselves deep. So that's on them. I told management, you can't make decisions from behind your desk if you're not coming out on the floor and seeing the issues, you know, because you don't even know what's going on. So I'm telling them, you got to get out from behind your desk and come out here and do your job because it's not my job to do your job.
Right.
So, I mean,
wow.
Like I said, I'm not worried about it. This is the eighth time they've walked me out. I've come back every time. I've gotten paid every time. So, like I said, I'm going to get paid this time. I'm not going to sweat it too much. As you know, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind me going out in front of the Solidarity House sped up the process of me coming back. Because from the looks of it, like I told you, there was no return date for the insubordination. And there was no grievance written, and so we'll see if we have a grievance Monday. But either way, it's going to go my way, or I'm going to go down to the National Labor Relations Board and file a complaint both on the company and the union. So it is what it is.
From experience, when you're going to do such thing, you'll need to, unfortunately, exhaust all internal procedures first, unless you feel that that's a complete violation against your personal right as an employee, not as a union member, but as an employee. Then you can go off to the National Labor Review Board.
Right, but if they're refusing to write a grievance.
Oh, absolutely.
Then I call the region, and the region says, well, that's a local issue. Then I call the international, and they're going to say, well, that's a local issue. It's like nobody wants to take responsibility. So, okay, now you're refusing me representation. Well, okay, then I'll just go straight to the National Labor Relations Board, and I'll file my complaint since none of you guys want to do what you're paid to do.
You right. got it, bro.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty clear cut. And I mean, like I said, I'm not going to really sweat it. I mean, I've been through the process numerous times. And like I told them, walking me out is not going to shut me up. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, there's a camera right there. And I asked them, did you guys review the video? It's kind of funny when they come back and told me, well, I wasn't standing in the view of the video. And there is no audio on the video either. So go figure, right?
Right, right.
So,
well,
but either
I'm
way,
sure other people heard what was said, though, right?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So yeah, so I'm not too worried about it. I'm gonna let them do whatever
right.
they're gonna do, and then I'm gonna take over and go through my process the way I do it, and we'll see what happens.
Now, how long has the young lady been? How long has she been out?
I believe she's been out close to 2 months now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That hurts.
That does hurt. That does
yeah.
hurt. And you're probably the only one fighting for her.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure I am, because from what she has told me, that the locals said they don't believe they're going to be able to get her back. So we're going to see if I can change that.
God.
Why aren't they going to be able to get her back? She's a full union member now as a full-time worker, right?
Yeah, I don't know the details of her case. I'm not an elected official, so. But she had talked to me over the phone. I know the details of what happened as far as that's concerned, but I don't know what the local leadership is doing behind closed doors. So,
okay.
You know, so I really can't answer. That, but
right.
like I said, the purpose of the union is to get their membership back, especially if there's no proof on management's part in their statement on behalf of this union sister. So if you can't prove your case, then your case holds no water as far as I'm concerned, and so why is she out? You shouldn't have to go through this whole process of going from the local to the regional to the international level if there's no proof.
Mm-hmm.
So the management just needs to sit there and say, well, bring her back, because you don't your case don't hold water. So you're going through this whole process of putting this girl in debt and punishing her for no proof of her actions. So. You know, it just don't make sense to me that if the union don't know how to fight for their membership, then I mean the union is useless at this point. So,
and
but like I said,
right.
I, you know, like I said, I got walked out Friday. I was told to return back Monday. Security let me through the gates. So, and then I got walked out again. So, I mean, they got the whole case is just blown out of the water. I mean, they didn't even have security walk me out. They just told me to leave, right? So I guess I couldn't have been that much of a threat, and I couldn't have been insubordinate if you don't have security walking me out.
Right.
So, I mean, and then security lets me in. I mean, so, like I said, nothing makes sense on their side, so I know I'm going to win this hands down. I gave them my statement. And so, like I said, they can just do whatever the hell they're going to do. But at the end of the day, Mr. Keller is going to he's gonna beat this. So I feel pretty confident about it.
But you're good. Good.
Did you, I bet you guys didn't know that the Solidarity House gives out free candy out front.
No.
But what kind is it, Brian?
The what?
What kind is it?
The tanning?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's all natural tanning. It's out front of the Solidarity House.
I thought you said candy. I'm like, they give candy?
Okay, shit. I don't know if I'd have took candy from them. They would have probably put something in it.
They would have.
I know. They offered me some bottled water, and I refused to accept it. So, I mean, you know, like, I don't need your water. I need you to get me back to work, and I need you to get me paid. That's what I want, and that's what I need. So make it happen, you know. So I don't know if you guys – have any of you guys heard of this Brian Rothenberg before?
I haven't. Maybe a friend of ours will write in and let us know about him.
Yeah,
Isn't it that Rothenberg that has something to do with the government, that family? Or am I thinking of the wrong name?
That's Rothschilds.
Rothschild,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what stuck out to me when you said that, though.
No, they could be related. Who knows?
And he wouldn't be on the union side if he was related. He wouldn't be. He wouldn't be working. He'd be.
Well, maybe he would be in this new union.
No, he's a Rothschild. He sure as hell wouldn't be working. Come on.
if their goal is to eat the union from the inside out, he might be.
All that you got a point. You got a point. Good point. Take it down. You got a point.
And you know, one of the emails that you read earlier, we've been talking about this for years, is one member, one vote, like Teamsters have.
Right.
You know, because we know how corrupt the system is as far as going to convention floor. And we know how that is. I still agree that is part of the system that you're supposed to do. But you need to send the right people to the convention. And if you had one member, one vote, I think it'd be a different union. I think it'd be a lot different union. Because we wouldn't have somebody like Cindy Estrada White, who thinks she's going to be president of the UAW when she don't know how to represent the people. They can write editorials in the Free Press or the Detroit News, but they can't represent the membership. She wants to talk about social injustice and pay injustice, and look what she did to her own workforce at General Motors. My word, permanent temporaries in all three contracts. Seriously? You want to talk about injustice? Wow. Just don't know what planet she lives on. Just saying.
Right. Teresa wrote that Dick Dangin talked about that guy, and she's posted some things by him, and UAW hired him a while back. And for more information, contact Brian Rothenberg, UAW Senior Communication Advisor, at brotherberg@uaw.net. 614-207-3237. That's the phone number to contact that gentleman.
I remember him now.
Yeah, now that
we do know a little bit about him.
Yes, we do.
Was hired to help sell basically he's there to help put the spin against us from Solidarity House. Their PR, he's their PR person. He's come from other places for doing this. So he has a history taking crap and spinning it into gold yarn. Or at least appearing to be gold yarn.
Well, he wasn't spinning it with me, I'll tell you that right now, because me and him got on a lot of issues about the union, and I told him, I said, when this shit falls, I said, I'm going to tell you something, you're not safe. I said, because the membership's going to be pointing the fingers at you guys. I said, believe me when I tell you that. I said, you guys keep doing what you're doing, but at the end of the day, when this collapses, you're not going to be safe. I said, because I'll be the first one down here. And I said, it's obvious because I'm here now.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you
remember the roundtable videos and the contract videos last year?
Yeah.
He's in that. Teresa wrote it in those videos. YouTube has them.
Did he speak in those videos?
I don't remember him speak. He might have, but I don't know. I can't be for sure.
I could tell you right now from talking with him. I don't think he's all that bright, but that's just my view. But like I told you, I threw a whole lot of things at him about what the union's doing and what they're not doing. And he really didn't say much. He just stood there and listened to me. So, I mean, I was hoping that he'd get in a debate with me, and it just didn't happen. So
no. No, I believe you going down to the international got you back to work faster. I really do.
I do too, because how do you get back to work without a grievance? I mean, the grievance has got to go between the union and labor, and the grievance ain't even written yet. So, I mean, that should tell you something.
Right. It sounds like the same situation Alex was in when he got fired. Remember Alex from Chrysler got fired when he was protesting, and he wasn't even on company property, and he was on his own time. It sounds like they used the same type of rule on you.
Yeah, I met Alex before. He's a good guy. I like him a lot.
Yeah, I know Dick Dangens talked to him before, he got back. He finally got back, but he was out for a while.
Well, I give them the situation. I tell them my common sense supersedes their education. So, I mean, facts are facts. And if you can't back up the facts, then your case holds no water. So, like I told them, it's your job to make sure this kind of crap don't happen. And if management is not doing their job and they're failing the audits and they're postponing the audits and they're trying to blame the membership, then something needs to be done.
Right.
You know, you can't sit there and tell me that I have to be forced into a mandatory town hall meeting. And then the town hall meeting is a one-sided deal where management can speak and the rest of us just got to shut up.
No, you're
right. But you're going to tell us, the membership, that it's our fault. But at the end of the day, you're the ones that make the call. You're the ones that say yes or no. So if it fails because of you, not because of us.
That's right.
Right.
Because you run the business and we do the work. So, like I said, if it fails, then management needs to be held accountable for because it failed. And they're not being held accountable for the failures. So, I mean, why ain't the union doing something about this? Because you know if the company fails, it's the membership that ends up taking the hit. Not the company, not the management. So this is a bunch of BS. They need to hold management accountable. If you can't do your job, then guess what? They need to be walked out the door.
That's right.
Well, you have like Rebecca, yourself, me, Don, when he was working. None of us went into work to do anything to sabotage our jobs. You know, that's our viability. That's our livelihood. Why would we want to go on and purposely do something that's going to damage the corporation that we work for, where us and them, make our living from? That's ludicrous.
But even saying hypothetically that somebody went to sabotage their job, okay? If management was doing their job, they would make sure that was the last person to sabotage the job, and they would get walked out, right?
That's right.
But if you're letting things go by and things ain't getting fixed and you fail an audit that you had a year to get ready for, then that's on management. That's not on us.
Well, unfortunately, and it happens at every local. This happens at every plant. This isn't just an opinion. Certain things are overlooked to keep lines or to keep the output going. I mean, we've all seen it, you know. So that's management's responsibility. It's their business. And when you try to let them know there's a problem and they choose to ignore that problem and continue doing what they're doing, I agree with you 100%. Somebody, when it does get addressed and they want somebody's head for it, it should go back to management's head. Let them know.
Yeah, but there's a difference between production and parts. And we're in parts, so, I mean, it's not that difficult versus a plant. You know what I'm saying? You're building product.
Oh, no. It's the same thing. Whether you're making a Jeep, a Chevy truck, or a Mopar performance part, a part is a part. It's just you have a bigger part with a whole vehicle. But, you know, I mean, if I buy a performance transmission from Mopar, you would hope that that would be at the highest standards available. So when I bolt that up to my car and I bolt that transmission up, that thing does what it needs to do. It shifts through the gears. It goes reverse. It doesn't leave me stranded on the side of the highway.
But we're not building parts. We're shipping parts. That's all we do is ship parts.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So I mean,
your warehouse.
Warehouse. It's not that difficult of a job. I mean, you know, you get orders in, you match up the part numbers, and you ship it out to the certain depots. You know, so it's not that difficult of a job. And for management, not being able to handle such a easy task is, you know, like I said, it's on them. I mean, if you can't run a warehouse, then you shouldn't be there.
Right. It's not like you are in control of the company. You're just doing what you're being asked to do. You know, it's your job. That's your task. That's what you're doing. It lies on management. It's their business. It's their system that you function underneath that system with union representation. But it's ultimately, it's their corporation. It's their company. It's their responsibility to run the company. That's the whole point. And then when you get so upset that you see that somebody is incapable of running their business, So when you say something to them, instead of taking whether they liked it or not as constructive criticism, they walk you out the door. This don't even need a grievance. Your shop chairman, was your shop chairman there at the meeting?
No, I had the alternate chairman.
But I mean, at this town hall meeting, there was not like the local president or the vice president, or it was just the workers.
Personally, I don't even know if the alternate chairman was at the meeting because, you know, there's so many people, so I'm not looking at everybody. But I don't believe there was any union representation at the meeting, to tell you the truth, because it wasn't until after the meeting that the president of the local and the alternative committee man came up to me and told me that I was being walked out. So, but I didn't see neither of them at the meeting, so...
Well, there's a couple of different ways you can handle this. Like you said, one, of course, is the grievance procedure. Two would be the National Labor Review Board. Or, you know, it could just be a talk to your local, your chairman, and that should be all that should be done. Paying for his lost time, man's what was in the wrong here, and clean the record, and, you know, no harm, no foul. It shouldn't be past that. It really shouldn't.
Well, no, I agree. Matter of fact, it shouldn't even got to this, as far as what happened to me. It shouldn't have gone this far. But had the union been there at the meeting, like I said, I didn't see them there, but there's a lot of people. But had they been there, I'm sure one of them would have spoke up, and this wouldn't have got escalated to the point to where I got walked out. And, you know, I wouldn't have got put in this situation. So I'm assuming that no union representation was at the meeting.
Right, right. Wow. Well, before we hit too far out here, I mean, we all want to hear what happened to you, and there are some things that I think is just wrong, Brian. Personally, I think the whole thing was handled wrong. I think that the plant manager lost his cool. I think you being the person you are, you stood your ground and didn't back down. Bravo for you. And so his retaliation was to have you removed. Not once, but twice. Wow, that's two different instances. You know, the first one could be, I would think, correlates directly to what happened. The second walkout, well, that's a different ballgame. That's a whole different grievance in its own. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely.
The first one was one issue. The second is a completely different issue now.
Well, see, that's why I'm going to let the local handle it, let them handle it the way they're going to handle it, and if they make any mistakes, it's going to be shame on them. Yeah.
They're going to need that additional liability insurance, I think.
There you go. You're absolutely right.
Very good.
It's not just my job to sit there and tell management how to do their job. It's not my job to tell the union how to do theirs neither. So if they don't know how to do their job, shame on them. I mean, that's like she said, that's where the liability comes in, right?
Right.
Hey. You know, speaking of liability, speaking of insurance, something happened this last week. Teresa did post it on Workers' Workplace Union. I'm sure she posted it to other Facebook sites. This is on the UAW's official website, so if you want to go read it, you can. This is what the article said. The UAW has been informed by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan that it has made a decision to unilaterally change the post-retirement health care provisions of the UAW members retired from BCBSM and BCM, which is Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan and Blue Cross Care Network. The company offered no discussion with the UAW prior to making this decision and notifying the UAW member retirees. The UAW International Union is outraged by the actions of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, and we are exploring our legal, contractual, and other options on behalf of our retired BCBSM and BCN members. We find it particularly outrageous that Blue Cross Blue Shield and Blue Care Network is impacting the fixed incomes of retirees during a year in which Blue Cross Blue Shield CEO Dan Loeb was compensated $9 million. President Williams also stated, in light of the attack Blue Cross Blue Shield has made on the retired employees, we have given a lifetime of loyal service and are the most negatively impacted by additional financial burdens. It may be time to reevaluate our longstanding relationship with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. Well, a couple of things going on here. One, the people who are UAW members who work for Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan and Blue Care Network, that's who they're talking about, not our health care that we have. But, on the last paragraph where it says Dennis Williams also said in light of the attacks, okay, listen, I don't know where all y'all live, but here from where I'm at, I understand a thing that's called retribution, okay? And what happens is, in light of what happened in the national contracts, all three of our contracts, they removed Blue Cross the Blue Shield of Michigan as our primary. If you guys all remember, when we went through all that, that was part of that. And, you know, and for him to say that they're going to reevaluate, what's it to reevaluate? You guys have already replaced Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan as our primary. That's in all three of our national contracts. It's like, you know, I don't know whether he's trying to float his own boat or what, but I think that Blue Cross Blue Shield's retaliating just a little bit. So, I mean, it's unfortunate brothers and sisters are getting attacked on their pensions. But if you're looking for President Dennis Williams to come and help save the day, I think you better find a different horse to ride on, because that one's awful lame and it don't go very fast at all. Just saying. You know?
I agree. Absolutely.
You know, these people are incapable of doing their job. And for him to come out and make such a bold statement over people's jobs, listen, pal, all we got to do is look and see how you treat the members. We know what we can look forward to when it comes to your representation. You know, so I don't know. It's sad, I guess. So that was big news. A couple of things happened again this last week. There's some more discussion around Volkswagen. Believe that. Volkswagen wanting to renege on their recognizing the UAW, and that happened this week. So that ought to be real interesting to see how that plays out. And there's one other thing. Oh, down in your neck of the woods, Brian, wasn't it there a strike was averted? Was it a parts place?
You know, I didn't read that article fully. I know what you're talking about. And you know what? I don't have it with me, so I can't even comment on it because
okay.
I don't have it.
Okay. Yeah, there was a parts place, and I got it.
Rebecca.
It's
never mind.
Go ahead.
No, Rebecca was trying to say something.
Yeah, it was a parts place. I don't know a lot of details about it myself, but it was in fact diverted. It looked like that they were going to go, and it had the UAW's support to strike, but I don't know the details of the settlement of working it out, but I did see that. Yeah.
So. Right. It was reported from the Detroit News this week. and give me a date. That's bad. Anyway, what happened was the United Auto Workers and Auto Supplier SACTI, S-A-K-T-H-I, Automotive Group USA, now have reached a tentative agreement on a new labor contract for roughly 200 workers, avoiding a strike that was scheduled to start on Monday. So this must have been June 24th. So it's on Friday. Workers in the India-based company will vote on the agreement noon to 4 p.m. Sunday at Local 600 in Dearborn. Oh, that gives me a warm fuzzy.
that's a Dearborn. That's not even near me.
Yeah, but they're going to go at Local 600, which has a little history
ballot stuff.
There you go.
Just call it what it is.
There you go. You've got the UAW going in here, and they said that they avoided a strike. All right, so with us on this show, and for many of the people who listen to this show, when they said they averted a strike for this parts supplier, we see that for what it is. What concessions did they take? What ultimatum did you give the members? You didn't go out and get gains for these people. We all know that you might have got a little increase in your pay, but you're going to pay more for your benefits. If you had COLA, that's probably gone. If you didn't have a tier system, you got that now.
Hello, Scott. Yeah. The UAW announced today that it will strike on Monday. And I'm not even going to try to pronounce that. Automotive Group and an automotive supplier headquartered in India that recently set up operations in Detroit. According to the UAW press release, the strike will begin at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning at the factory at 6401 West Ford Street. We're asking all UAW elected and appointed representatives for support in our upcoming unfair labor practices strike. Okay, there you go. So you just mention it, and Teresa puts it. She's quick. She is quick.
Thank you, Teresa. Yeah, thank you. So from Friday till today, things have changed. Evidently.
Apparently so.
This
place has fired 52 bargaining unit employees since negotiations began and replaced them with temporary workers. Wow. So if you didn't agree with them, I guess they fired you. Brian, you might have lasted about an hour. In this situation, your coffee has still been hot.
You might be right. But I'll tell you this. Anything that I had on the company, I bet you I'll take a bite out of their shareholders.
Damn right.
Because I figured if I'm not getting my job back, well, guess what? I'm going after your shareholders. And I'm going to make sure I damage the company. And if you think you can sue me, what are you going to get after you fire me? I ain't got nothing.
Right.
Right. No,
I'll get more from your shareholders than you'll get from me.
Old information. Yeah. Hold on, Scott. There is no, they have a tentative contract. I jumped the gun. They called off the strike that was supposed to start at 5 a.m. tomorrow. Attention to article dates. I don't pay attention to article dates. I apologize. So go to work tomorrow if we have anybody from that plant listening to me. And don't listen to me. Sorry, Teresa. Whatever I say, if I say it's sunshiny, you know it's raining. So don't ever listen to me again. How did I miss that? I don't know how I missed that. Well, I was hoping they'd go on strike, but
I think strikes are a thing of the past.
Yeah, me too. We can say all we want about the UAW. They're doing exactly what the hell they want to do. They're getting their big time money. They're as corrupt as, like that guy said in that email, as Washington, the people in Washington, D.C. We got 48 people in a switchboard. You'd think one of them have a comment or something. And for the folks that wrote in about political stuff, I'm not going to read some of the stuff. I won't read any of it because there's some nasty people out there. They're nastier than I am, and I'm pretty damn nasty. So I won't be reading your emails if you're wondering why I didn't. So you want to write something about your plant or whatever about the UAW, I'll be glad to read it. But not some of that stuff. I blush.
Well,
give me blush.
I'm going to say this. If the UAW is saying that striking is something of the past, then we need to get our union dues lowered back down, because the purpose of the increase on union dues was to replenish the strike fund. So if we're not going to strike anymore and we're not going to use that as a tool anymore, then some of that money needs to come back to the membership.
Oh, I agree 100%. I didn't think it should be in the first place. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's going to be up come the next. They're going to have to pass that again to continue it. The way that was written up and in the Constitution, that isn't automatically continued. That has to be presented again and has to be passed again. So hopefully we'll have people who will go and not pass it again. So again, be careful who you send. They might be voting to, if they vote to continue that increase, it would be a shame, because it doesn't sound like the UAW is supportive of striking anymore. Not really. It's funny that this came up, because this week, it's just something I noticed getting around the plant more. All these people are wearing these old shirts we had made up that said, they had that big, I don't know if that was a snake or something on it, that said, "We'll strike if provoked." You know, I loved those shirts.
Right.
But all of a sudden they're wearing them, and I want to stop and say, do you think we're going to strike? I mean, all of a sudden they're showing up again, when before they were like, we're going to burn them. You know, we're burning them because we're never going to get to do this, and even though we should, and stuff like that. So,
I'm going to tell you something that really bothers me. Is when all these union members talk about wearing red on Wednesday or whatever,
what
the hell does that do for us? Because
the
majority
thing.
Of you guys that put those shirts on ain't standing up.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Majority of you guys are cowards. You're afraid to stand up to your union that's working over on you and taking everything. And nothing pisses me off more than the people that comment sometimes on my post talking about, I support you. Yeah, behind your keyboard you support me. But ain't nobody at the Solidarity House with me.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody standing up against the leadership. It's just a handful of people. So how do you support me if you're not down there joining me? Or you're not joining these other unions that might be on strike. You know, I see Scott Olson, he's out there. You know, he'll go out there and back any local out there.
Yes, Scott will.
But what about the other membership? Wearing a damn red shirt don't do shit.
Well, hang on a second. Now, back in our day, when we wore red, it was in solidarity. I mean, I can remember the times when we called for red shirt days. And this has been years ago. I don't see this happening any time now or in the future, but when we all wore red, just somehow the system seemed to work a lot slower. You know what I'm saying? So without saying it, that's just what happened, okay? And now Fridays, red shirt days are for solidarity purposes. It's for our military people. the military, our military people. That's the number of the people who are serving. That's what the red shirt means, because they have red. Remembering everyone deployed. That's what it stands for. And I have a red shirt that has R-E-D on it, and it has remembering everyone deployed. That was sent to my son. He sent that to me from Gruntware.
And our plan,
I'm just saying,
that was what it was originally. If I remember right, we had red shirts or something we were supposed to wear. I never did, but it was for the troops or something. I can't remember exactly.
Okay, let me ask you this then.
What does that do? It doesn't do a damn thing.
The shirts represent the veterans that serve and protect this country. And
right.
How many veterans are in the UAW now that no longer have the will to fight to even protect their way of life, their jobs, their benefits?
Good question. Good question. Fair question.
I mean,
yeah,
are we all
question.
I mean, whether you're a veteran or not, you're a UAW member, you're a laborer that's supposed to be fighting for our way of life so we can sustain it. But we're all just sitting back and none of us are doing nothing. Well, I'm not going to say none, but the majority of us ain't doing nothing. But we're here wearing a red shirt with no meaning to it.
Right.
So if you're wearing a red shirt and you don't really support your veterans, or you really don't support your way of life, and you don't support fighting, now, I get so sick of hearing, well, be happy you have a job, or the other one is you gotta pick your battles. When the hell are you going to pick the battle? We're losing. When are you going to decide you want to stand up and fight? You guys are looking at these news articles just like the rest of us, and you're reading them. People are getting their pensions cut. They're getting their benefits cut, their health care, their rights. People are getting walked out wrongfully. And you guys are all sitting back content, acting like you're a union, acting like you support each other when we're all in the same boat, but ain't nobody taking no action. And that's what pisses me off the most, because we get on this show every weekend and we get on these pages every single day and we post information. Teresa puts out so much damn information, it ain't even funny.
That's right.
But you guys, you're listening, you're reading, but you're not acting. Nobody's acting. Nobody's taking responsibility for each other's jobs. I mean, what's it take? You know, I mean, we can sit there and do the sending the right delegates, if you're lucky, if you're able to decide which one's the right delegate to send down there. But you've been going through this process for decades. The process in the union hasn't really changed. It's been the same process. But it ain't working. It just ain't working. So my answer is to go down to the region. Go down to the Solidarity House, get control of your local, overrun the damn thing. People need to start walking out together. Screw the law and screw the damn contract. Because we're the ones losing because we got rules to follow, but the international don't have any rules to follow, neither do the damn companies.
Right.
Yeah, here.
They're not followed by any rules. But they give you a contract that's open-ended language that'll take a freaking lawyer, a great lawyer, to understand the damn thing. Because you can interpret the language in different ways. And if it's open-ended language, there is no way to interpret it because it's going to change when they see fit. So my thing is the membership now need to stand up to their local officials, to the regional officials, and to the international leadership. And I don't mean behind your desk or in your home. You need to go to the doorstep. You need to confront them and tell them enough is enough. Because I'm going to tell you one thing that always holds true in the union is power is in numbers. And that is truth. I went down there by myself with a stupid little sign that had a couple words on it, and I got my ass back to work with no grievance.
Right.
Imagine if there was more than just me down there. Imagine if we had thousands of, I mean, we got over 400,000 UAW members. I don't understand how we can't all come together. Because whether you work at Chrysler, GM, Ford, or any of the part suppliers or any other UAW plant, you're all being affected the same way the rest of us are. We all need to come together. It doesn't matter where you work. If you're union, you're union. If you're Teamsters, UAW, CWA, it doesn't matter. You're all being affected by the same damn system. The same system that 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, 80 years ago, that our union brothers and sisters fought and beat that system. Beat the same system that we are sitting here now watching them take shit from us. The old union brothers and sisters, man, they got us the pension, they got us the health care, they got equality. What are we doing now? We're just, those people fought in vain because you guys are just sitting there letting these companies take them back and the union ain't doing nothing for you.
We're begging for table scraps. We're begging for table scraps.
Right.
Our leadership. Okay, yes, the membership needs to participate. I absolutely agree. But what we have here is we have a stranglehold from the leadership at Solidarity House to the regionals and then to the local presidents and the chairman. They have a stranglehold on these people. And it's crazy because the leadership that we have now don't think the way that the union that we belong to should think. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, it's bad. It's bad.
Well, I'm gonna say this. Nobody has a stranglehold on my ass. I'm going to go out and fight for what I need to fight for with the union or without the union, just like I said I would, and I'm going to continue to do it. And I'm hoping eventually that my union brothers and sisters will open their eyes and realize there's nothing to be scared about, and join me. Because you think you're scared now, wait until the UAW just lets the company have everything, and you ain't got shit.
Well,
you already got jobs going to Mexico. If they can't stop the jobs from leaving the country, and they can't stop your benefits from going away or your pension from getting cut, what purpose is it? To have a union. The union was founded on equality. It was founded there to fight for labor. And it ain't doing it. Now, it don't start in this situation. I'm going to reverse it. It doesn't start from the top down. It starts from the bottom up. Because we don't work for the union. The union works for us. We are paying them for a service of representation. They are legal voices under the National Labor Relations Board. And it's up to you, the membership, to force the international to work for us and our retirees.
Hear, hear.
All right.
I think I said that last week, didn't I?
I believe you did.
From the bottom.
That's right.
No.
Start right from the bottom. You got it. Hold on.
Well, there you go. Now it's confirmed by two of us.
Warren texted my friend. Hold on, Scott. Hang on. My friend has sent me something. Warren Tech Center pre-production. There's a lot of jobs descriptions, and there's too many to read right here, right now, because we're running out of time. But resumes should be submitted by an email to WTC HOURLY, hourly employment@gm.com. It looks like a lot of skill jobs and metal jobs, and fabrication, body and white weld tools, and research project tests. I want to thank my friend Dave for sending that. He used to work at the truck plant. He was a skilled trade, was laid off, worked his butt off, and got called back to his plant a few years ago. And he still keeps in touch like that. Thank you, Dave. And Terry Tobias, looks like he wrote me and he said, no one listens to you anyway. So you're right. Thank you, Terry, a good friend. Brian, you remember Terry. He joined you on the line in front of the Solidarity House from Local 598. He was there.
I do. Yep.
Yes. He's a good man. I don't like him, but he's a good man. And, we've known each other for a long time. We do not like each other at all. And I want to get that straight. But, no, I'm just kidding. He's a big guy. And if I ever went to war with the UAW, I'd want him on my side. I'll tell you that. Because there's people that don't like him in that plan at all because he stands up for – he's like you, Brian. He doesn't take any BS from nobody. And
I'd take Terry on my side any day.
Yeah, that's right. And a kiss ass is always, oh, you can't do that. I remember some bad stuff that was they were trying to do to him. Well, they didn't make it.
Yep.
They sure didn't make hell with them. So, yeah, if you want to send anybody to the convention, people, why don't you look at two people that ran the last time, you morons. Oh, there you go. That's all I got to say. You know it.
You know how it works. You know how it works. I mean, I only got 30 votes out of 700 members. 360 voted, and I only got 30. So, I mean,
Somebody wrote us that I think he only got 14. Wasn't it 14? He ran for something. Yeah, last week or 2 weeks ago, he said, "Don't feel bad, Brian. I only got 14 out of everybody." So, hey. If you want to live on your knees, you go right ahead and live on your knees, folks. If you think that big old signing bonus is good for you, go ahead.
I want to tell the retirees, the Tier 1, the Tier 2, the TPTs, I want to tell you guys something. At the end of the day, we work on the same floor. We get paid by the same company, and we got the same UAW standing above us. If you guys keep voting by popularity, because that's my boy or that's my girl, I got to hook them up, but they don't know how to beat the system, okay? You're going to get exactly what you ask for. Mm-hmm. Because I'm going to tell you something. I told you just a little bit ago that this system that we're fighting is the same system that they fought 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago and got the pension and the health care and the equality. It's the same system.
Yep.
If you don't get the people with that same mentality that they had when they started the union, you guys are going to fail. We're all going to fail because you guys keep trying to elect these politically correct people that want to have a working relationship with management. But let me tell you something. That relationship is one-sided. Believe me when I tell you that. It's one-sided. You need to elect the people that you know is going to get voiceful, that's going to stand for you, because if you see them in action, that should tell you something. That's the person you want in office. Anybody can write something on a flyer.
Right.
But when you see them standing against management and fighting management, that's the person you want in office. Stop making the wrong damn calls. You guys are voting the wrong people in. Now, I don't care if you don't vote for me or not. At the end of the day, I don't care. Because at the end of the day, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, and I'm going to get myself back. But now when you get in trouble and you don't have the right person in there to get you back, that's on you.
That's right. So, we're about done tonight, fellas. I hate to tell you.
had to end it with my rant.
Yeah, I kept trying to break in. One minute.
Well, hey, you guys. Let me tell you. Next week, I may be a full-time employee.
What?
Excellent.
Wow, congrats.
They're hiring 104 people from part-time to full-time in the next week or so.
That'd be fantastic.
My status may change, but my advocacy will stay the same.
Absolutely. Good for you. I'm proud of you. Awesome.
Absolutely.
Super.
That means you can show up at 7:30 like Brian. When you're full time, come late. Now I understand that. Now I got it.
We'll see. So we'll.
Let me just say, I'll be here next Sunday night at 7 p.m. I will be here. Scott will be 3 minutes late. Brian a half hour late, and 32 minutes after that, it'll be Rebecca's turn. She'll be in because she'll be full time. On time. Thank you. Thank you.
You know,
chat. Thank you.
As we talk, you know, between Don and all the years that you put in, and Brian and Rebecca and myself, I think it's safe to say that we all have the spirit of the sit-down strikers. And that's the problem. The people have lost the pride in what their union was. They've forgotten what the struggles were, like Don Couch's dad. Some of the things that they went through, the people that went through some of the things that they went through after the sit-down strike, you know, the 40s, the 50s, and then into the 60s. The struggles that they had to endure and the things they had to fight and the strikes, you heard me, the strikes that they went out on to get what they wanted. That spirit has been lost. And Brian, you're right. Till people realize that they've lost their spirit of fight, we're not going to get anywhere. And it's disheartening, and we'll keep doing this show. We'll keep spreading the gospel, man. That's all we're doing. We're trying to preach out here, and hopefully somebody will hear that message, brother.
Amen.
So,
amen.
We can only hope.
You know, that's what it is. You know, you got people like Brian and myself and Don. We're fighting for people like Rebecca. You know, Rebecca should have been hired in full time right off the get go. But we got bad contracts we got to deal with now. So, you know, we have to work around that. So.
No, that you're right. And we'll keep plugging, and hopefully, one of these days, we got to come together with the Beatles. How you like that? Before I was a plant worker, I'll tell you. I got good cues still.
Right.
I can do the cues.
You know,
I just can't read worth a damn.
Right. You know, something that we didn't really get a whole lot to talk about today, maybe we'll talk about it a little bit more next week, maybe, is Great Britain exited the European Union, and the fallout that's going to have on the automotive industry and the parts suppliers.
Not going to have nothing to do with it. Scott, nothing to do with it. Don't believe the bullshit you hear from these globalists that say everything's going to crash. That's the fifth biggest economy in the world. It's not going anywhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. I'm just saying that the automakers, Automotive News put this up, presupposed it, thank you, that the Automotive News reports that automakers are calling for tariff-free trade between the UK and the European Union after their exit.
Tell you this, after that vote on Friday, the United States, Germany, and I think it was Switzerland, and they're not even in the European Union, but I'm trying to remember there's a third country, has already contacted Britain on renegotiating their contract.
Really?
Out of the yes. That, of course, you only heard it that Friday, and nobody wants to talk about it again because they've got a petition, and Parliament is threatening to take the vote away from the people because they can do that. They
what?
Can over the will of the people, and they're trying to get people lined up for that. So we'll see what happens.
That sounds like the UAW. Sounds like the United
yeah.
States.
Yeah.
Wow.
And well, the workers, the middle class people, the one that voted for this contract because they wanted the globalists out of their ass. You can't even get an electric teapot. You can't have one in Britain. But that law was made up in Brussels. That was made up in Brussels from somebody these people never even heard of. These are unelected officials that make up these stupid laws, and that's what Britain was sick of. A lot of stupid laws and a lot of immigration people coming in, taking, you know, jobs. There's so many, the fishing industry's gone. I know all about this Britain thing. I've been following this for months. Nigel Farage, we need him. They call him the Donald Trump of Britain because he says it all. You got to look up some of his, he's a MP. You got to look up some of his videos on YouTube. From when he's in session. Oh, good Lord. He ripped
was that
into
the guy that's born? Was he born
What's
in the
that?
United States? Is that the guy? Is that the guy that's born in the United States?
No.
Has
no,
blonde
no.
hair? Oh.
Well, yeah, he's
okay.
got light hair, but I don't believe he was born in the United States. He just tells
okay.
it like it is. He's like Brian. He's like Brian. He doesn't care who he says it to. He's told the president of the EU off. And you and call him a few names. He got fined for it. He got fined. But, you know, he's telling the truth. He tells it like he sees it. And I'm proud of the people of Britain. They won by 4 points. That's a huge win for them. They beat London, and that's the financial section of Britain, and now London, they voted a Muslim in for mayor, which is fine and dandy, but now London wants out of Britain. They want to be out
what?
Of Britain.
oh, boy.
London, they want to be. Well, have at it. Be
oh,
with us. You know, start throwing, the people have the power.
Right.
The people have the damn power, and I wish to hell they start waking up to what's going on in the world, not just our country, in the world. And I, for that reason, I'm very proud of Britain. Very proud of them.
Right.
And all,
Teresa?
Go ahead.
Teresa threw a quote up there from Mr. Richard Danjen, and we've
oh,
heard
yes.
this plenty of times.
Yes, we have.
What it says is that, you know, there are two reasons that people run for office. It's for the power and the money, or for the honor and the privilege to serve. And among the people that run for elections, reality demonstrates that only about 1 in 10 run for the privilege to serve. You know, which kind of person do you elect? And then she also throws up that the 37th Constitutional Convention will be held in the month of June 2018, provided that the date of holding the convention will be advanced or delayed 2 months upon a resolution to effect adopted by the International Executive Board, the IEB. So thank you, Teresa, for posting that up so we can see that.
That's right.
Get out to the listeners.
Yes. Teresa is top of it.
Oh, man. I'm glad she is. Shoo! So with that being said...
yes.
Well, with that being said, hopefully we'll have some good news next weekend from
for
both
Rebecca.
Brian and from Rebecca.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we'll, I guess we just tell everybody to stay safe, you know, and, you know, keep your head above water and keep telling people what we're doing. You know,
and thanks for the email.
That's all we can do.
Keep them coming. Keep them coming. Clean them up a little bit. Maybe I can read some more next week. I don't
I
think that's
I love hearing from everybody,
right.
Except for one who said that I was a Buckeye. I love hearing from everybody, but that person.
That was Bob, was it? Let me find those emails. That was from Bob, I believe, from Lance.
Bob.
He's a Sparty.
Oh, he was a Spartan. Okay, so that explains it all. Those Spartans, you got to watch out for them.
Oh, look out. A Buckeye's look out. It's going to be silly season come September this year. I can see the football thing is going to be hot and heavy here on the show, which is good.
Oh, it's going to be real interesting come September. Because something's happened in Detroit that hasn't happened in 40 years. The Detroit Lions, because they can't play football, are going to hire up professional cheerleaders to entertain the folks.
I knew you were going to say that.
I liked it. How do you like that?
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait.
You know, you look at the Detroit Lions, and then you look at the UAW leadership, and you think, man, they're running neck and neck with one another. It's amazing.